another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast. Welcome back. It's the Dino Talk gang. Got all of us here. Nick, Jesse, Logan. Here to talk some football. The draft's over with. Free agency's over with. It's a good time of year. Talk some football. We're going to talk about the draft, kind of biggest winners, biggest losers. But start us out. We got to talk about our teams, of course. Like, Logan, just jump right in with the Titans. How are you feeling?
Overall, not too good, not too bad. I feel like I'd give them a solid, like, B grade. I think that they draft a lot of experimental players. I was really excited to hopefully land Joe Alt, but you know, Harbaugh, you know, says offensive linemen are weapons, and that's kind of hard to beat. Whenever you're at pick five, you get your choice of who you want to go. And I think that overall the Titans with Callahan is their new head coach and other Callahan is their offensive line coach. I feel like you can have a little bit of leeway with who you go as offensive line. I think J.C. Latham was a pretty good experimental kind of, I don't want to call him a project, but I definitely feel like there's some concerns where people are saying he was like built like a guard, but you know, playing tackle, but I think Callahan can, you know, get the best out of him. Then they followed it up with another experimental pick with Tavondre Sweat. He didn't play a ton in every game that he ever showed up in. Kind of had some conditioning problems, but I feel like they can get that conditioning down, get him playing as many reps as possible. Pretty good. One thing that I was kind of interested in, I kind of kept going back and forth with, was stacking maybe one more receiver, but it kind of looks like in their off-season little journey that they're going through right now that they got Tyler Boyd in the building, try to reunite with their new head coach. And, that'd be kind of interesting. Only problem I see, veteran player tends to fall off kind of unexpectedly. I mean, yay, nay, expected, unexpected. I don't know. Age is coming. I don't know about the production. But it would be nice to have him in the room. And I don't know. Overall, I was kind of indifferent about the draft. I'm kind of just trying to trust the Titans draft process at this point. John Robinson, you know, did his part and trying to make it hard to enjoy drafts. But this one is pretty happy with just going to tackle nice and solid, nothing too crazy. So B grade is what I give it. So passing.
Perfect. And I feel like they got a pretty good setup so far for Levis, like to tell whether or not he's good. Like and if they get Boyd, like the only thing is their receiving core is going to be pretty old. To where, like, I mean, but at the same time, I guess the point is figure out if your quarterback's good.
So I think that's another interesting thing. I know we talked about this offline about the next year's quarterback class. I feel like the ideal scenario for a rookie quarterback that is worthy of starting, you give him 3 years. So he's got this next year to try to hone it in. He's got his weapons kind of as good as they'll get so far. And, you know, if that doesn't pan out, you can go maybe a receiver in the first round next year. Maybe
sure.
Make it. No. Denied. You hold out another year with Levis at the reins. Maybe you get a better draft pick and you go Arch Manning or something fun. So.
Yeah. 2026 quarterback class will be fun. Next year? Yeah. Probably not. All right. Jesse, what do you think about the Eagles? Howie season?
Real quick, is Sanders coming out next year?
Yes.
I hope so. He's.
And what are you
24.
Talking about, brother? Next year's the year that the true GOAT is coming in the NFL. Anyway, Eagles. I mean, addressed a lot of the key needs, you know, that the team had. Definitely corner. I'm really excited about the athletes that they got at corner, especially. I mean, that's really it. They spent both their first two picks on them. And, I mean, besides for that, they traded back a lot in the draft. Really the main story with the Eagles this offseason has been getting AJ Brown the extended contract and get Devontae Smith signed. So, they got that, the offense is back. And I mean, really, even though we're paying him $50 million a year, it does feel like it's a Jalen, there's no excuses this year. Kind of year. It's like you have one of the best offensive lines in the sport, You have arguably the best receiving core in the sport right now, and you got one of the best running backs behind you. It's like, this has to be a year where Jalen kind of repeats, the season before.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like their first two picks in the draft, I feel like they were drafting best available for what they needed. And when they got Mitchell from Toledo, I thought he was going to go higher than that because he's just like such a raw prospect. He's really awesome to watch. And then when they got Cooper DeJean, 40th overall, I thought I had him potentially being like a late first round pick or even somewhere in the 20s. And I just thought that was great value. And, other than that, though, I definitely did like some of the darts that they were tossing, like getting Johnny Wilson late. I think that it's funny to me that he's such an interesting player that I feel like a sixth round is like the perfect landing spot to just like, if he pans out, he does. But if he doesn't, like, oh, it's a sixth round. Like, it's no big deal. So I really like that pick too.
Yeah, if he pans out at receiver, then it'll be whatever. Then you move him to tight end, and he becomes the next Darren Waller. That's the career path for him.
Yeah, plus he has like what Dallas Goedert to work with, and I see he's listed two spots behind AJ Brown. And just looking at their receiving core minus the starters, he could easily climb up the receiving core or just like kind of work in with Goedert. So that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I the one thing with the Eagles, I saw this take and I just cannot like get it out of my head. It's just every year come draft time, everyone's always like, oh, Howie's cooking, like Howie's season, like Howie's going off. And like every like the general consensus, like the general Twitter folk always love the Eagles draft. And the take someone had was that every year Howie takes the he views like consensus boards. And it's just like what prospects like the general public likes, he takes. To where it's just like he is like a public, he's like out there to please like the public and just like out getting the splashy picks. Like last year they took like Nolan Smith, Kelee Ringo, Jalen Carter, all these like big name guys. Everyone's like, oh, Howie's cooking. But really, like Nolan Smith never did anything in college. Probably gonna be a bust in the NFL. And it's just like Kelee Ringo, like there's a reason he fell. But it's just like everyone's like, ooh, Howie does it again. He figures it out. But it's just like, really, it's just like, is it great? But this year, I actually do really like that
Yeah,
the
sure,
draft.
buddy.
Like, we're
Sure.
gonna kind of go to full circle here. But I getting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, like their clear holes for the Eagles were corner and linebacker last year. And like getting younger at corner is like so key, and like getting two pretty good corners, I think. Like DeJean fell, but like Quinyon Mitchell, like he could be a star. To where they could, I don't know if they like they got one linebacker, but they get the guy from Clemson. But I don't know. I feel like the Eagles. I agree with you, Jesse. Like it's a kind of a big year for them, like for Jalen, for basically. For Sirianni, basically everyone, I feel like it's going to be a really,
Make or break.
make or
It's
break
kind of
year.
always a it's always a must-win season in Philadelphia, but this year it's really you gotta win.
Yeah, you get Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore in too. Like, just like you bring in the big guns, get your draft to go right. Like, you just pay your receivers, pay your quarterback. It's time. Got to figure it out.
Absolutely. Now the real moment of truth, Nick. Go ahead, let us have it, buddy. How about them Bears?
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about Justin Fields? No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually really.
First podcast without a, almost went a full podcast without
He's gonna
Justin
be
Fields.
the
Right.
next Devin Hester.
Yeah,
I
I
can
mean,
see it.
that's the recent scuttlebutt is, yeah, he's gonna be returning kicks. But no, I like the Bears draft. I mean, they didn't make many picks. Like they had like four draft picks, but like I think they hit all of them. Like they got Caleb, great pick. They got Rome, like pretty good pick. Like a young receiver to learn behind Keenan for a year, and alongside DJ Moore, you got a punter who one of the best punters in college football history.
Generational punter.
Yeah, generational punter. Granted, like hopefully the Bears don't have to use him. I know Caleb's been saying that, but if you have to use him, he's good. And then they also got an edge who's pretty promising. So I'm a fan. And you traded one pick for Sweat. You traded one pick for Keenan Allen. Like it's a good draft. Like I'm glad the Bears didn't feel the need to just trade back and get a bunch of assets. Like stand put, taking Rome. Like Caleb, it's pretty good situation, buddy. Like it's. You hit the ground running right away, but I'm excited for the Bears. Like I think it's playoff year. Like I'm ready to say it. Bears
If
are here.
only
Tough
they were in
division though.
another division.
Yeah,
That's what I was going to say.
division's
The
tough.
AFC North out of nowhere has become like one of the strongest divisions, I feel like, if the Vikings can keep up. So.
It's gonna be tough, but yeah, the Bears. They didn't really add a ton of defense this offseason, but like that's why you have Eberflus. Like he can handle the defense. The offense should be improved. Excited.
It's definitely an exciting time in the Bears organization, but it also was an exciting time about 2 or 3 years ago.
Hey, Jesse, this year it's
Whenever
different. This year's different.
it's
Always an
always
exciting
different
year.
until the season starts.
It just to me, it just feels like you gotta admit, it just feels different this time.
It
Like,
actually does. I feel like when Mitch Trubisky was drafted, I was happy, but I didn't know how to feel because I still didn't think I liked Jay Cutler at the time, so
and even when Fields, go
it's so funny. I'd forgot about Mitch, like
ahead.
before Justin, there was Mitch. So it's like this is just I mean, I don't know, man. Good luck. I hope that it hits this time.
And even when the Bears drafted Justin Fields, it was just like, what the? Like we got Fields, like this is awesome. But it's just like at the same time, it's just they weren't built to help Fields. Like it was a bad situation. It was just kind of a last ditch effort from their GM to where it's just like it was likely gonna fail. But like this one, it's just like Caleb set up to succeed. Like he's a better prospect than either of those other two guys. And it's just, they got the receivers, got Keenan Allen coming in. Ugh, God.
Maybe he'll be as successful as Trevor Lawrence.
Hey, I'll take it. I think Trevor's pretty good. I think Trevor's good. I'd
Is
take that.
good, but man, he is not. I was just watching a thing today that was comparing his stats since his rookie year to Gardner Minshew's in those same years. I got news for you, boys. Gardner Minshew has definitely played better than Trevor Lawrence, at least stats-wise.
Yeah, Gardner's got that empty stat. Yeah,
Good
Trevor's
coaching last
good.
year too.
What?
Good coaching last year too. Anyone can scheme up a quarterback in that offense on the
What the?
Colts.
Oh, the Colts. Yeah, I mean for real.
Yeah,
Getting roasted,
what idiot
Jones.
organization would
Yeah,
let go of that offensive coordinator over there?
Eagles should think about getting someone like that. That'd be kind of cool,
That
wouldn't it?
would be that'd be a good fit for Jalen Hurts, actually. Now that I think about
Huh.
it, wow, that would be really good.
Yeah, maybe we should tip off Howie. Maybe Howie's season can continue a bit here. All right, guys, you ready to just hop right in on the winners and losers here? Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Logan, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I was gonna try to pull up some stats real quick, but let's see if I can do it while talking. Basically, my first winner was going to be Brian Thomas Jr. Honestly, Christian Kirk as well. Maybe not so much Gabe Davis. I'm not really sure. I haven't thought about it. But honestly, I feel like the biggest winners are honestly just kind of clearing out that Jacksonville Jaguars receiving core. I feel like, I mean, I haven't even looked at Evan Ingram. He might be a pretty good winner on this offense now too. But I feel like just getting Calvin Ridley out of there, I feel like he didn't really fit that well in that offense, which was kind of weird to say because he was so streaky. But he was really good when he was getting targeted. He just kind of went invisible sometimes. But also releasing Zay Jones, I feel like was well needed. I can't believe he got a contract and still surprised he was like floating around the league. But I feel like with Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis on that offense, it should allow Trevor Lawrence to theoretically look like the prospect he was, touted to be. And overall, I'm pretty excited. I kind of wish I went Evan Ingram and that Trey Junkies league we were drafting for, but someone kind of reached on him and I had to settle for David Njoku, which is fine at the time, but I feel like getting Calvin Ridley out of there and Zay Jones, I feel like it's going to kind of bring a new look to the offense and be pretty young, speedy, and fun and exciting to watch. So I'm interested to see how the Jaguars offense transforms going into this next season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was actually thinking about having Trevor Lawrence as my big winner from the draft because I agree with Brian Thomas. Like it's a even if Brian Thomas can't be the alpha number one, which is something I think that Trevor Lawrence badly needs. Like, but Trevor Lawrence when he was in college, like he succeeded with the bigger outside wide receivers that could get up and make plays down the field, like T. Higgins, Justin Ross. And I think Brian Thomas can do that. And I'm kind of glad that they stayed and went wide receiver. Because after they got Gabe Davis, I was like, are you kidding me? The Jaguars are going to overspend again and then just like draft some developmental edge in the first. And then it's going to be a repeat with Trent Baalke. But them going wide receiver kind of gives me a little more hope because I think things were getting a little bleak with their GM and just the direction they were headed. But I like the Brian Thomas move for both Trevor Lawrence and for Brian Thomas. Like it should be better
Yeah,
for
and so
them.
just looking at this pick, like statistically, Christian Kirk out of the 71% of the time running out of the slot. And if you look at Brian Thomas Jr.'s stats, he's split out wide 86% of the time. So it's like they're actually trying to formulate players that will mesh together. And Gabe Davis, I mean, what does he do? Just run straight. So I'm just kidding. So I don't know where you put that at as a slot or, putting him out wide, but I think that they're actually going to put together a cohesive offense that they are in positions that they normally are in. I feel like Calvin Ridley was kind of just and not really fitting. So I think they reformed it and it's going to be better. So I'm excited.
I agree with you guys on all this too. Christian Kirk was actually going to be one of my winners.
I guess the only thing I also wanted to say about Brian Thomas Jr. was just kind of as just someone that reviewed some of his highlights and plays that he ran. The only thing that I might be a little concerned about, route running's kind of weird. I feel like he does make really good plays when the play breaks down. So allow Trevor Lawrence to roll out, and Brian Thomas Jr. does a really good job at filling the gap in a defense. So I'll definitely be able to allow him some, accrue some yak yards just by filling the gap and making plays with Trevor Lawrence. And I think that'll make Trevor Lawrence a lot more comfortable and willing to make plays on that offense. So be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Brian Thomas has a fun skill set and good skill set for Lawrence. I mean, I think he's still developmental. Like he's never really had to be the alpha number one. Like he had Neighbors with LSU and like he really only had 1 year of like great success. But I mean, he's got good traits. Like he's was very successful in his third season. And I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback for the big outside wide receivers. So,
Yeah,
good fit.
exactly. And it's reassuring to have a young player drafted. I hate to say it nowadays, but to have a true year three breakout player seems to be almost unheard of nowadays. So it's kind of re reassuring to see someone under 22 getting drafted. So.
Honestly. I'll go ahead and go with my first one here. I think the biggest winner is the young quarterbacks draft in the first round. Like outside of Penix. I mean the young quarterbacks, top three.
What about Bo Nix? Where does Bo Nix fit into this too?
I mean him maybe as well, but I think in general, when quarterbacks get drafted early in the draft, it's usually like last ditch efforts for organizations. Like it's just like, oh, well, let's reset the clock here with the quarterback. Or you know what? Like we need a quarterback, so let's just draft one when we don't really have anything in place for him. But I kind of like the setup for honestly all these guys. Like Caleb Williams, like the Bears didn't make the mistake they made with Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky in that they have DJ Moore. They traded for Keenan Allen. They draft Roma Dunze. They got Swift. They got Kmet. They got an offensive line that's good. Like they have an actual setup for success, which is almost unheard of at the top of the draft. And then at the second pick, you got Jaden Daniels. And I personally like I'm not a huge fan of Daniels. And like I have my doubts on him. But at the same time, like the situation is pretty great for him, in my opinion. Like I thought Washington had a great draft. Like they hit on some under the radar guys. And also it's just like they have Terry McLaurin, they have Jahan Dotson, who are better than a lot of early pick teams. And they at running back, they have Brian Robinson, and can't remember who the secondary their second running back is, but they have a decent setup, and their offensive line is decent to where I'm kind of optimistic at that situation. They also drafted Ben Sinnott, tight end, who I might talk about here in a bit, but I like that situation for him. And then there's JJ McCarthy. I really like his situation going with a good coaching staff, with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. Like that's a great setup for a young quarterback. And then Drake May, like New England's a little bit of that's probably the worst situation, but at the same time, like they invested, they drafted multiple wide receivers. They have Juju on the team. They have DeMario Douglas, like they Hunter Henry, like they have some pieces in place to where a young quarterback could succeed. And I like Drake May, so I think he's got a decent shot. But overall, these like decent situations for them. And even Bo Nix, like not a terrible situation for him. Like he's got Courtland Sutton, Marvin Mims, like they got some Greg Dulcich, they got some out options for him as well, where that could be decent. I'm not a huge Knicks guy, and then Michael Penix. We can check back on that in a couple of years, but overall, yeah, stock up for the young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I feel
Yeah, I
like
mean,
a lot of these teams are in that go back into a rebuild mode or get your quarterback now while they're still there. So it's they're in a great spot. They're gonna have guaranteed playing time, minus like Penix. So it's gonna be fun.
yeah, they all obviously fell into great situations. I mean, yeah, I mean that they all went really early, all got the draft capital. It is funny that you brought up Drake May and the Patriots investing, because my winner of the draft was actually Jalen Polk, the receiver who went second round to New England.
Good transition here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually I'm in one draft that drafts rookies before the actual draft. I actually got Polk in the fourth round of my rookie draft. All skill, great research done by me, and I just knew who he was and made a great pick. And then he got drafted 37th. So,
You auto draft, didn't you?
I only had the one fourth round pick, and so, of course, why would I have paid attention? And yeah, it auto drafted him for me.
That's great. But yeah, the situation's great for him.
Yeah, got a rookie throw to a rookie. Let's go. What do you think about Jalen, Logan?
I hate to be put in this spot too, because so the biggest thing about Polk before this draft happened, I thought he was going to be some sort of sleeper draft candidate where I could sneak him later in rounds. I was a huge believer in him. And I thought he was better than McMillan last year. After this past year, I'm not sure if I'm still a believer in that because McMillan has some crazy stats as well. I think that the Patriots' current receiving, like their receivers right now, are up for grabs. I don't really know who's going to be getting the production. I kind of think it's on Drake May to decide who gets it. I have really liked Javon Baker, another receiver who was drafted by the Patriots, and I was really high on DeMario Douglas, another receiver drafted by the Patriots last year, but I was sneaking in a lot of drafts, and then they just signed Kendrick Bourne and retained Juju Smith-Schuster. So honestly, I don't really know what I think about the Patriots receiving core right now, but Polk or any other of those receivers, I think it's kind of a toss-up right now. I'm in that like middle category where I don't know if it's a win or a loss, but I liked him last year. Maybe he'll show what he did at Washington a little bit there on the Patriots, but I think it's up to May to decide who's going to be that who's getting all the targets and receptions. So I don't know if I can agree yet, but we can check back like week four of the season. We'll see if he's getting targets.
That's fair. I have a two-parter here. One, I was strongly on board of McMillan over Polk, pre-draft, and also yeah, like Polk, the third wide receiver on Washington. I mean, I thought he was better like all throughout the time at Washington, and like Polk really only produced once McMillan got hurt. But at the same time, yeah, he got great draft capital, and he's in a great position with May. Like Polk's pretty good down the field at contested catches for his size, and like his skill set could really fit with May. Like I'm not a huge fan of him necessarily, but like I think May's really good, and like he can make him work. And I don't know. I haven't drafted him in any rookie drafts yet, but I've wanted to. Like I've had my eye on him, but he's gotten picked before me. But yeah, I definitely can see that, Jesse. Like it's a good value, and especially in the fourth round. Like, kudos to you, man. Great research and everything.
I got my Puka, baby.
Except for he was drafted in the second round, though, like in real
Well, but
life. Like,
I
he.
got him in the fourth, so
I
I
know.
my Puka.
Everyone's fading him, and I'm not really sure because that draft. I hate to disagree with like an NFL organization, but the draft capital's there. So, like, you kind of have to lean towards usage, like what you're saying.
I mean, and besides for Marvin and Neighbors, I don't think any receiver is going into a better receiving room that for more opportunity to immediately go in there. Even Odunze, I mean, he won't be able
All right, Logan, do you care if I take the next one here?
Have you ever heard of Cornelius Johnson? I'm just kidding.
No. But all right, I'm going to go into my next one here. Great transition, Jesse. Polk is the, yeah, he does have the best situation outside of Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman with the Bills, like that situation, like they're talking about in interviews, like Keon, we're going to rely on him early. Like, he's our X wide receiver. Like, with the Patriots, I kind of view it that, like, they're going to head into the camp and be like, hey, first wide receiver, step up to the plate here. And it's just any of the seven wide receivers they have will do it. Whereas with the Bills, it's like, Keon, get out there with Josh Allen right now. Like, we need to get you up to speed. And that's, I think Keon Coleman's a huge winner here, like, in the draft. Like, I was a big fan of Keon entering last offseason, back when he was getting no hype. Like, Keon's kind of my big claim to fame for this draft. Like, I was big on him. Like, him and his family was all over my tweets. Like, it was feeling good. But Keon, like, he kind of started falling towards the end, to where people were kind of hesitant on him. But I'm still in on Keon. I'm sorry. Like his skill set is just too good. Like he's a like the thing with Keon that I go back to is like the dude was returning punts this year, and he was like not just back there just to catch it. He was back there to catch and like make plays, like as a returner, and he was doing it. Like he was making like pretty good returns. Like, which just shows me like his athleticism is there, and it's like his testing, like he didn't run fast in the 40, but like on the field, dude can ball. And I know he had some injuries this year, which contributed to his production. And also, like, The Florida State offense, like they, it's not a great offense for like a 1,000 plus yard receiver. Like that's just not their, the way they play. And Keon Coleman, his sophomore season, outproduced Jaden Reed from Michigan State in another offense that does not feature wide receivers well. Like Keon, getting him with Josh Allen, like I'm excited for it. Like I think Keon has bust potential, but like his skill set with Josh Allen on the outside, like, oh God, I'm very excited to see it.
Oh yeah, okay, sweet. I just pulled up the tweet that I was thinking about. I was glad you were consulting with us on whether it was a reach to draft Keon Coleman in your draft. Was it 110? Where did you get him?
Yep.
110.
110.
And then this is where I brought up the stat. Shout out to this Austin Abbott FF guy on Twitter. I just found it. Where it has the teams with the most vacated receiver targets. It has Buffalo Bills at number one with 283, aka 86.3%, because Diggs is gone, Gabe Davis is gone, someone else is probably gone that I've never heard of. But then in number two, it's got the Chargers with 239 with Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. And then number three, shout out to my previous winner, Brian Thomas. We got the Jaguars with 239 with Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones gone. So I feel like that's like another reason to buy in on anyone that's getting draft capital to these three. And then four and five, Cardinals with 164 and Steelers with 140. So I think anyone, you know, in a position on those teams, I feel like is worthwhile trying to take a shot at.
I love those added stats, Logan. Yeah, I mean, hard to argue that. Hard to argue that one.
I
Let's
mean,
go, Coleman.
honestly, it's just screaming opportunity. Like the dude is going to have to really not play to what he showed in college with all of those targets, you know, because Josh Allen isn't going to miraculously stop throwing that many times. So I feel like it would have to take like an injury or something that we never saw on the tape to drastically change my opinion on Keon Coleman not being able to step in to not produce.
Yeah, dude, I'm really, really excited for the day when Keon Coleman is going into the Hall of Fame and he shouts out, oh, thank you, Nick Atterbury, for believing in me when no one else did, letting the Twitter world know. And then his mom is going to stand up and say, thank you, Nick Atterbury. It'll be a good day.
Hey. I would love to see it. I mean, I with Keon, like I him out of high school, like Keon, like backstory, he was a great basketball player too. He played basketball at Michigan State as well. And like him in high school basketball, dude was putting up like 40 burgers left and right. Like, dude's just a crazy good athlete. And like I'm eating up these stories about like when he was at Michigan State, like after football season ended, he went over to the Michigan State practices and he was teaching their starters like scout team like work for like the other teams they're playing, like teaching them the scout and like saying, oh, this is the tendencies. Like, dude's a smart dude. He's a baller. Like with Josh Allen, like I'm so excited to see it. And I think his potential is pretty high. But
You sold me on a guy named Sky Moore on these same principles before, though.
Keon's going to be different.
Just like the Bears, this time's different.
Yeah. Keon's different. He's a darn good player. But we'll be back after a quick break.
Dino talk after the break. I'm gonna start us off here with our another biggest winner in my bag of many winners. So for this next winner, I'm gonna be talking about Devin Singletary and the Giants offense a little bit here. I think Devin Singletary is kind of an elusive winner, mostly because I think he has just been touted to be, you know, second, third option on a team. No one's really given him the time of day on capital in fantasy football. I think that he is always a nice option to have stashed away on your teams. I think that judging off of his stats alone, he's been in the league for 5 seasons now. His worst season was a 687 rushing yard season And I mean, obviously, two touchdowns in two of the 5 seasons. But I think that just having him on your team, he's reuniting with Brian Daboll, who he was, under as the offensive coordinator for the Bills at the time. I think that right now with Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, it kind of just opens up a window. Who's going to be the main back for the Giants? And I think that honestly, he's kind of an unconventional back. He's really small, kind of, he's like 5'7", 205, something like that. But I think that it kind of just, I wouldn't say you need to trade for him, but I mean, maybe if someone's undervaluing him, you just toss him some useless pick you don't really care about and you just stash him. Maybe he kind of pops off. Maybe he has like a little Zach Moss season where he's kind of breaking out. But I think that overall, I think that it's kind of weird to think of a running back that I've thought who's had mid-tier production as being a winner. But I think with the current depth chart, the Giants getting Malik Nabers, I think that it might alleviate some of the pressure Daniel Jones is experiencing or Drew Lock, depending on whoever the quarterback is. I think that it should allow them to hopefully, have a sufficient run game. I know Saquon Barkley is a beast. It's hard to fill his shoes, but I think that Devin Singletary having to compete with Eric Gray and Tyrone Tracy is there's not much competition. Gray has fumbling problems on special teams, might not get a second look. Tyrone Tracy was in college longer than, he's been he was in college for like 6 years, I think.
College. He was in college longer than most of us have been alive.
Yeah, he had a longer college career than Devin Singletary's been in the NFL so far. So, I mean, maybe that helps him with experience wise. Maybe he'll be able to compete with Devin Singletary, but I don't think so. I think that the Giants offense is going to look a little bit differently. Hopefully they patch up the line a little bit. I definitely like their pick with John Michael Schmitz last year as the center. I think he's really solid when healthy. And hopefully, like Evan Neal and some others, get it together a little bit, buy some time, let plays develop. Devin Singletary will just, keep somehow getting yards. I mean, he's not going to be like on the highest end of winners, but I just think that he has an opportunity to produce and, hopefully it yields like a top 30 running back season, top 20, maybe 15. That'd be pretty cool. But I don't have any stock in him, but I just thought, looking around at opportunity, yeah, I thought he got a good one. So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Singletary has a pretty good setup here. I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is whether or not they bring in somebody else, which I would think they would. But at the same time, like with the Giants, like they're kind of a case to me of like a team that could really tank. Like they got to get off Daniel Jones's contract. Like, sorry, Jesse, but like I just think they're kind of at a in-between phase here, where they hope Daniel Jones gets ready and shows something, or they hope Drew Lock does. But like, are they gonna be willing to invest in a running back at some point here, or do they just ride with Singletary? And can Devin Singletary like handle a full workload?
Single
Like
carry? Did you mean that?
yeah, I did. But I just don't. I don't know if he can handle a full season's worth of workload. And just like, do they really want that? Like, and I don't know. I think things could get interesting. But I don't know. I don't know. That's my
Love to
full
hear it.
response.
I love to hear it. I do have a lot of Singletary, so I agree. I mean, not just because I have a bunch of Singletary, but obviously for all the reasons Logan pointed out, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a good chance that he ends up having, a better year than what people are expecting. I think the Giants could end up, who knows, being a little bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, and so I wanted to bring this up to
Eat.
Nick's point. I think that this might be a case study of a middle of the road team. I know Nick tried to hollow in on some of those teams last year, calling out like the Titans every year like he normally does. And like the Steelers are just like these purgatory teams. But I think that the Giants brought in so many resources on the defense that I just don't even know where they're at, because they have Brian Burns,
Yeah, they
Okereke,
traded him.
K, Mills. They had Thibodeau
Thibodeau.
from last year. They got Mills from the Patriots. And so like I don't know where they're at right now. I offensively, there's an opportunity at running back. Defensively, they filled a lot of spots. So I honestly, it's kind of up to Daniel Jones to prove himself, I think, at this point. So
Well, that brings me right to my winner. As you pointed out, Daniel Jones. I thought we were just talking about draft winners here. He obviously grabbed Malik Turner, or Malik Turner. Shout out Malik Turner, SHG, baby. Malik Nabers got him. Some people would argue the best wide receiver in the class. So, got a good guy to throw to. And the truth of the matter is, Daniel Jones does have that contract, and if he plays well, he's going to probably stay there. Like, and he is going to keep these weapons that they have built up around him a little bit. Yeah, it comes down to if Daniel Jones can play well, and he at least got that opportunity because there weren't other QB. There, no, you know, the Giants didn't draft a QB in a very QB heavy heavy draft class, so. I just think that the fact that, you know, the Giants did go wide receiver and that they did, you know, stay away from the quarterbacks was ended up just being a win for Daniel Jones, because doesn't have that direct competition right behind him whenever he comes back from that injury, where, you know, whenever he comes back from injury, he makes a few mistakes here or there. They're chanting for the new rookie QB. There isn't going to be anybody. So I think he's a win. He was a winner.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. Like, I don't think Daniel Jones is good, but like, yeah, he's got a situation here. Like, he's got another year to prove himself. Got a new wide receiver. Like, got a, I think a decent offensive mind as a coach. Like, yeah, situation's there for him. He's just gotta produce.
Yeah, exactly. I also want to put it out there, not the biggest fan of Daniel Jones either, but I feel like you don't have to be a fan of a person to call him a winner. And I think he won in his contract, and now he's got a good opportunity to prove himself with one receiver that got some draft capital. I feel like, I don't even remember when Wan'Dale Robinson, but it's like the dude had been dealing with like Darius Slayton on his team his entire career. And then they got Darren Waller to try to help him out. Darren Waller's like 30 or something. So I feel like at this point, they got a receiver for him that wasn't Odell Beckham early in his career. So I just feel like Malik Nabers, Jalin Hyatt, you know, speed kills. Hopefully he can throw some deep balls to him and you know, pan out to a mid-tier quarterback season.
A lot of my dynasty teams would be really happy if Daniel Jones was able to pull that off.
Yeah, that would be nice for the Jesse world. But talked about the winners here a decent amount. You guys have any big losers?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go ahead with my biggest losers. I feel like I love witnessing this. I feel like I haven't done dynasty leagues long enough to finally experience drafting quarterbacks or any player and seeing the life cycle of their career before my eyes. I feel like seeing what happened in this offseason with a lot of quarterbacks was kind of eye-opening how fast it can happen. Sometimes it's later in your rookie contract. Sometimes you might step on some toes, complain about some offensive coordinators. I feel like one of my biggest losers is Kenny Pickett. He managed to complain about his offensive coordinator, not try to improve his awareness on the field, try to make tight window throws, or, you know, feel more comfortable in the pocket, that he found himself, you know, barely being above Tanner McKee in the depth chart. And I feel like Kenny Pickett is one of my biggest losers, but I also want to follow up on some other quarterbacks. kind of got set in their ways and thrown into the trade mill with we got Trey Lance was one of them, already got his 5th year declined. We got Zach Wilson thrown to the Broncos, then they drafted Bo Nix, tanked any sort of opportunity slash hope people were holding on to that he might miraculously start on the Broncos. I think Mac Jones is another one. Got thrown over to, did he go Jags?
Yep.
He went Jags. Another opportunity to just sit behind Trevor Lawrence and just enjoy some money. And I feel like a lot of those quarterbacks, if you probably look at their ADP and rookie drafts to where they're at now, I'm kind of interested on what kind of draft stock or what you would have to send to someone to get it. Like, is Zach Wilson on the waiver wire? Is Mac Jones on the waiver wire yet? I feel like Justin Fields has enough supporters that you'll have to toss someone like a 3rd or a 4th rounder for him now. And I just felt like a lot of those quarterbacks that got traded for like 5th, 6th, 7th pick swaps, stuff like that, their value just halved, you know, in 2 seconds. And I would classify them as some of the biggest losers I saw in this offseason draft.
Yeah, hard to disagree there. What was it, the 2019 quarterback class? 2020?
And Kenny Pickett. We'll just have to
Okay,
talk.
and
Well,
Kenny Pickett.
yeah, we got 2019, 2020. What was it? Was Zach Wilson, Justin Fields in the
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence class,
Yep.
and then Mac Jones also?
Yes.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think so. And then, yeah, Kenny Pickett was just next year. So he accelerated his career by just complaining a little bit. And then Russ taking that $1 million contract off the amazing dead cap that the Broncos absorbed, which was pretty surreal.
Yeah, I mean, hard to disagree there. I feel like it's not a, yeah, not good for those quarterbacks. I mean, Justin Fields, like, you still, I still see him, like, he's still got at least second round value in leagues,
I
which I think
know.
is too high.
We got the Justin Fields Colt, and we have a 1 year contract with Russell Wilson. So I think ideally everyone's hoping he gets a step back, but I think he's probably just going to get thrown into the Mitch Trubisky process. But the thing is, with Mitch Trubisky, after sitting behind Josh Allen, he did get another opportunity. So I think anyone that's holding on to Justin Fields or potentially trading for him, there is a window that could allow him to potentially start in the next year or two. So that you can hold out hope for that. But honestly, I'd just write it off as a loss. Just hold him and, you know, sail off into the sunset. Maybe it gets better.
I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said there. I mean, yeah, that's all there is to it. Absolutely everything.
All right, so I got a another loser. I got a loser. It's come on, guys. It's obvious. Like everyone knows it. Everyone's thinking it. It's Michael Mayer. Like he's a loser for this. Like it's he got drafted second round. Like this is supposed to be the year he breaks out. And they drafted a better, younger tight end. And I mean, yes, I think Brock Bowers' skill set is different than Mayer in that Bowers will probably isn't as good of a blocker and will probably be in the slot more and more of like an H-back kind of role, like less blocking. But like still, like, yes, I do think that is true. But in an offense that has Devontae Adams, Jakobi Meyers, Brock Bowers, then Michael Mayer, like it's the fantasy output's going to struggle to be there for him. And I feel bad for him. I mean, I don't think he gets traded. Like, I don't, maybe they do some double tight end work. I don't really know what their plan's going to be. I don't know if they know, like Luke Getsy, like he hasn't really shown that kind of capability yet. But regardless, a guy that last year was going to the second round, like people had a lot of hype. Like, he had hype for years that he was going to be the next big thing. And yeah, I just don't really see a situation where he's going to be great for fantasy in the next couple of years. Like it's kind of a rough situation for him, I think. And yeah, I do think he'll get playing time, but the targets, they're gonna be rough. I think, yeah, he's definitely a loser in the draft.
In the best case scenario, he is a loser because it's just like you said, he, like literally if maybe they go double tight and he's still is a loser. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's probably the second biggest loser of the entire offseason.
Who's first?
Oh, are you ready? Are you guys ready for mine?
Hey,
Logan, did
yeah.
you want to comment on
Yeah,
mine?
I just want to point out best case scenario for him. He like miraculously gets traded to the Bengals, and then we don't have to call him a loser anymore. I feel like he won, and I feel like they get some draft capital back. But I feel like his
It's not
current
gonna happen.
spot, he's just lucky he's a tight end and can have a career for 10 more years. So that's all I'm gonna say. Hindsight 2020 in life, not a loser, just in fantasy purposes. Right now, he's just gotta scrape by,
He's a good blocker. He'll have a role, but
Yeah,
fantasy
exactly.
wise, it's gonna be a bit.
Let's be super clear. In life, every single one of these guys are way younger than us and making way more money. So they're all doing at least okay. But hands down, the biggest loser of the offseason for me personally, Tank Dell, right?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Wait, did you guys not hear?
I
He got shot.
I know. Hey, you guys were big Brian Robinson fans. I wasn't gonna mention it. I wasn't gonna mention it. You guys love Brian Robinson.
No. That's yeah. That's my but a ching like a but a bunch. The drum set. Alrighty, but yeah, that was my loser, and it was just a little joke. So I don't have any losers.
That's definitely fair. Logan, do you have any other losers, or should I list some of my many thousand big winners that I have?
I think I had a few here that I would. You go
Rattle
ahead.
them.
You go ahead. I'm gonna formulate them on a notepad real quick. I just kind of lost them being put on the spot, but go ahead. Let's hear them.
Some big winners for me is like the tight ends in this draft, like the top tight ends. Like I like the situation. Like Brock Bowers, he's got another tight end. Yeah, but like you don't draft a guy that high in the draft and not plan to use him often. And Brock Bowers has got a really good skill set where I think he could be a pretty good tight end early on. Other one, Ben Sinnott. Like he got drafted at the end of the second round, but like he's got a great situation. Like Logan Thomas is gonna be, he got
I don't know
cut,
if he'd
didn't
signed yet.
he?
Zach Ertz might be his only competition.
Oh yeah, Zach Ertz. But still, like I like Sennett. I think he's a good player, and I like the situation with the young quarterback. A lot of young quarterbacks like to target the tight end. I like that for him. Jatavion Sanders with the Panthers. Not a huge fan of Leggett, to where I think Sanders is in a decent situation. I don't know if he's great, but at the very least, like Panthers are now going to have a tight end that good. And yeah, I like that situation for Sanders. Also, Eric All, good situation with the Bengals. Like he's got Mike Gesicki, but that's it. And then Theo Johnson for the Giants. Yeah, they got Darren Waller, but he might retire. That's a decent situation. And then the other big winners is some young running backs. Javonte Williams, big winner. They didn't draft anyone. Zamir Wyatt, also. Like I thought they were for sure gonna draft someone early. They got Alexander Mattison. Like, yeah, great situation. Chase Brown, like I like it for him. But at the same time, Zach Moss, another winner. Yeah, either one of those could be a guy that could carry the load for them. And also Dameon Pierce. He's not gonna be an immediate starter kind of guy, but at the same time, like he's a guy that could have been phased out if they drafted someone, but he's still there, and they're claiming that they're going to give him more of a workload this year. So I think Dameon Pierce is the winner. Maybe he carves out a role.
But are you worried about Joe Mixon on that one? I meant to ask you that
Yeah.
earlier.
No, I mean, absolutely. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, Dameon Pierce is going to have a role. Like, and maybe, I mean, Joe Mixon's 27 years old. He hasn't been super efficient recently. Yeah, to where Damon Pierce, like, if he's getting another shot as a second option, like, maybe he makes something of it. Maybe he's a guy that Joe Mixon takes a lot of the load this year, and the next year Pierce is ready. But yeah, I
I
think
will
that's
say,
great.
I feel like Dameon Pierce is also a guy that a lot of people like his talent. Just like if you're watching him, you know what I mean? Whenever you watch him play the game of football, you like watching him run the ball. Like at least if
Oh,
you're a
yeah.
running back, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's getting another chance here. Like, this could have been a place where they could have drafted a third round running back, and then we've heard the last of Dameon Pierce until he signed somewhere to play 3 weeks and when he's 27 years old. But yeah, I mean, at the very least, he's a good handcuff. Like, maybe he carves out a bigger role. But also, the last one is I'm a big fan of this guy. He's been battling a lot of injuries. I thought maybe they drafted would draft someone higher, but Greg Dulcich season can happen again. Gonna be pounding the table. I thought they were gonna draft a tight end. I supposedly they like Ben Sinnott a lot, but instead we got Greg Dulcich ready to lead the charge again. But he's just got to get his hamstrings right. Like I hope he can stay healthy. And if he does, like he's got a great skill set. But yeah, that's all. Sorry, had to rattle off a few there.
Yeah, okay. So I thought a few of mine as well, but dang, I really had a good one I thought before that, but I can't remember it currently. But right now we got Kyren Williams, we got the Rams offense, we got Blake Corum in it, we got a little bit of realistic competition. I feel like Zach Evans, Ronnie Rivers, they were never really going to compete with Kyren Williams. I think that Blake Corum could add a Actually, he won't be the one adding a change of pace. Maybe he's just going to take the starting spot. Kyren Williams will come in, do a little change of pace. I don't know. I just feel like it's more of an interesting backfield with Blake Corum back there. A lot of good production in college. Another one, Ricky Pearsall. Why he was drafted where he was still kind of confuses me. If the 49ers are holding strong on keeping all of their receivers, I think currently right now, list him as a loser, not really sure where he fits and how much playing time he's going to get. Maybe he'll just sit, wait for people to leave the team. But another person, Michael Wilson, they just drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., aka a better version of himself. So I think that his role in the offense is, going to be kind of weird, I guess. Got rid of Rondale Moore. Got Desmond Ridder, still have Greg Dortch. I feel like the offense is probably going to stay the same. Michael Wilson's just going to have a reduced role. Javonte Williams, going to add him as a loser just from whatever information Nick told me. I don't even fully remember it. Just going to add him. Yeah,
Who
go
was
ahead,
that?
buddy.
Who was
I
that?
said Javonte Williams
Is the Biggest Loser?
as a loser because of what was the running back role you mentioned on the Broncos might see some time?
Who? Estime. Patrick
Estime
Estime.
on the Broncos, really liked Estime, had a pretty good draft profile. I feel like really good runner. I think he, I mean, seeing what McLaughlin did in last year's offense, I feel like them just constantly mentioning him as an undrafted rookie, most yards in college football ever as a running back. I thought that was interesting that they were giving him the time of day. So I think just more added competition with maybe a not fully healthy Javonte Williams. I feel like after seeing what he did his first year, I'm still interested to see if he'll ever be able to get to that broken tackle state Nick was, bragging about, just how he found this running back out of college. So who knows, maybe he'll get back there. Another player I had was Alex O'Connell. We got a little Gardner Minshew competition. I don't know what it is about Gardner Minshew, but he seems to always find a starting role. So I wanted to shout him out as well. And that's yeah, Aiden O'Connell. I said Alex O'Connell. Shout out Creighton. Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback for the Raiders. And yeah, that was my last one that I could think of.
I'd like to challenge you on a couple of those. Javonte, like, they added a fifth round running back. Like, I like Estime, and I think he carve out a role. But like, for Javonte's sake, and like, if you're a Javonte Williams fantasy owner, like, and you just your biggest competition is an added fifth rounder. Like, I'm happy for that, even though I think Estime can carve out a role. Like, that's why I included him on my winners. Just like they just added a fifth round guy. Like, I'd say
Okay.
overall that's solid.
Okay, maybe losing their center Cushenberry to the Titans, their run offense isn't going to be productive. He was averaging 3.6 yards a carry last year. I think maybe he's already there
Yeah, and they added a
without
quarterback
the.
who played in a gimmicky offense, 24 years old, and doesn't offer a lot of upside. Yeah, that'll hurt.
Yep.
That'll hurt.
When you got your quarterback already running short game, you don't really have to move that much to stop the run, I feel like. So
The other
maybe
one is,
that's a better response. So there you go.
and the other one is Aiden O'Connell. Like, I still like his situation. Like, I think he could be the pretty decent starter this year. Like, if he wins the job, like I thought they might add somebody, but yeah, I think Aiden O'Connell's a decent buy in Dynasty at this point in time.
Yeah, I think I should probably highlight there's something about Aiden O'Connell watching him. He was Purdue, right? Yep. I feel like just watching him come from Purdue into the NFL, I already had like this bias against him where I never really saw potential, but he definitely surprised me in some games last year. He went through that Chargers game getting sacked like six times or whatever by Khalil Mack, and seemed like he cleaned that up later in the year, and good for him. He's definitely got the receiving options. He's got the tight ends now too. I don't know what it is about Gardner Minshew. He just manages to take the starting spot wherever he goes for a few games. So, I mean, he's in a great spot. So, what was that?
Besides for from one guy, he couldn't quite get the starting spot from. But Nick thought he was going to, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I never thought Trevor Lawrence would lose the job to Gardner. Just playing. But
Good one.
what do you think about those losers and winners, Jesse? Any big objections?
No, unfortunately, no. Nope, nothing.
That's definitely fair.
Maybe Diggs is another loser because he's actually on a contested offense now too. Like, there's a lot of weapons on that offense. Who's gonna say he's gonna get the target share he ever got at the Bills?
He's not. He's washed.
It's a rough off season for Diggs, I think. Like, he might like it, but you're at best, you're going to be the second option on a team. You were with a really good quarterback, and you had all the targets in the world. Yeah,
And now he's going to be competing with Cade Stover over targets. Crazy.
but think that about wraps it up. You can follow him on Twitter at ProTalkLogie. You can follow him at Jesse underscore Setzer, and you can follow me at PTNick32. Until next time. Dinner talk.